The gospel text this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke. I read for you Luke chapter 13, beginning with the 31st verse. Luke 13, 31. Listen for God's word for you. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me, 'Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day, I finish my work.' Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you. And I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This is the word of God for the people of God. These weeks of the season of Lent draw us closer to the cross. We've heard all these stories before about Jesus' experiences in the final weeks and days of his life. And we've heard that Jesus knew what was ahead for him. Jesus knew that his days were numbered. He knew that his death was coming, that it would be public, that it would be excruciating. He knew that he would be abandoned by his own friends, by those who'd known him since he was a small boy, by church officers whom he'd studied, by church leaders who claimed to follow the God of Abraham and Moses and Elijah, and by the authorities in civil leadership. Yet he continued his journey, knowing. In the final weeks, Jesus was moving toward the city of David, where the great prophets down through the ages of Jewish history had been disregarded, ignored, and sometimes even killed. Yet, that's where he was headed. Some Pharisees came and warned Jesus to go and hide because Herod was out for his blood. This Herod was Herod Antipas, the ruler reprimanded by John the Baptist for his marriage to his sister-in-law. This Herod Antipas had the baptizer beheaded. This Herod Antipas ordered the children of Bethlehem killed after the visit of the Magi to his court. This same Herod Antipas was the official to whom Jesus was sent following his arrest. We don't know who those particular Pharisees were or what motivated them. We just know that they told Jesus to run, to hide, to save his life. And we know that Jesus refused. "That fox," he said. He knew that this was no joke. So he added, "Tell him that I'm still alive and I'm still doing all of the things that he fears the most." Jesus knew that Herod's motivation was fear. Herod's motivation was always fear. So instead, Jesus proceeded on, traveling the grueling path toward Jerusalem to face his death there. Just like so many earlier prophets of God. Prophets are understood to be people who speak and teach God's messages. We have come to know that Jesus was much more, of course, than a prophet. Prophets came in many shapes and sizes, and they spoke about many different ideas, but the one thing that they had in common was that the truth was quickly rejected by those who have a stake in maintaining power and the status quo. Because prophets dared to confront the prevailing authority structure. Prophets spoke about God's truth, about God's power, and so they threatened the truth and the power of civil authority. Jesus himself threatened the religious authorities and their control of how people were to understand God. Jesus questioned the integrity of those in power, challenged them to recognize that the power they worked so hard to create, the power that centralized authority and wealth in the hands of a select few, made the common citizen feel powerless. And it would seem the world has not changed. Oh, I understand that a prophet's life was not an easy life. We live in a world today where people still choose to support destructive behavior, a world where too often cynicism is celebrated and hopefulness is ridiculed. The status quo rewards selfishness, narcissism, and even bullying, while compassion is considered weak. Our broken world needs prophets. And God has sent you and me to make a change. We are being called to bear witness to the radical truth of Christ, a truth that is as prophetic, vital, and threatening as it was 2,000 plus years ago. We never got any further information from Luke about Herod's motives or the motives of the Pharisees who warned Jesus. Instead, the author focused on the nature of Jesus' response. Rather than heeding the warning and making preparations to flee, as most people would have done, Jesus faced the threat head on. He spoke confidently and let the Pharisees and Herod know that he was not politically naive. He was fully aware that the kingdom he proclaimed and the actions he showed, casting out demons, healing the sick and penniless, was an outrage to the powers of the day. And so he sent that message back to Herod Antipas. Do you recognize courage? Do you think of yourself as courageous? A lot of people think that courage is the absence of fear. It is not. John Wayne, now, when's the last time you heard John Wayne quoted from the pulpit? John Wayne said that courage is being scared to death and saddling up anyway. There is sometimes the immediate and situational courage of the person who, in what seems like a moment, summons the courage to face imminent danger. It shows up as the courage of a bystander who pushes someone out of the way of oncoming traffic, or jumps into a raging river to save someone struggling to swim. Of course, the reality is that such courage is not actually a spur of the moment kind of thing, but it's an accumulation of traits and abilities and beliefs and training that has been developed and exercised over the long span of a lifetime, preparing to act courageously in any given moment. And yes, it simultaneously shows a courageous display of character. Another kind of courage displayed not in a single moment or in a specific act, but but in anticipating a significant or frightening challenge and not turning away from it, but meeting it. This is also a matter of character, character that has emerged from a lifetime of facing fears and shouldering burdens and accepting challenges and responsibilities that one could avoid, but doesn't. Christian courage, then, might be the kind of wholehearted living that comes from believing that God, and as a person of God, I am enough. And that those around me are also God's beloved children, and therefore deserve my love, my compassion, and my respect. This Presbyterian church is full of faithful people. Some are conservative, some are liberal. Some love to hunt, some are terrified of firearms. Some struggle to be faithful, some hear God's voice as clear as a bell. It's hard to tie down any group of people. We recognize that if you have a group, by definition, you probably have that exact number of opinions, that exact number of ideas, that exact number of conclusions. We each have very clear attitudes about money, about race, about social class, about age. And so the first verse of our gospel lesson is surprising. Some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." Now, you thought that all Pharisees were bad. But remember Nicodemus, the man of the law who came to Jesus three times in the Gospel of John and then actually helped Joseph of Arimathea prepare Jesus' body for burial. Yeah, Nicodemus was a Pharisee. Then there's the Apostle Paul, known as Saul the Pharisee, who completely turned his life around after that encounter on the Damascus Road. Maybe those Pharisees who tried to warn Jesus were hedging their bets. If he truly was the Messiah, then they'd done him a favor. If he wasn't, then nobody had to know what they'd done, or that they'd tried to help him. In some ways, I think that's where many of us are. But that's not courage. We're happy to be Christian as long as being Christian doesn't ask us to do anything that might get us into trouble. We're happy to follow Jesus, wear a cross around our neck, maybe even invite a friend to church, but we don't want to stand up to City Hall. Jesus seemed to know that they had a foot, these Pharisees, a foot in each camp. "Go tell that fox for me," he said, knowing that if they could overhear Herod's plot to kill him, then they must have been close to Herod. Though they may not have completely pledged themselves to Herod's service, they couldn't just jump up and follow Jesus. You see, they had kids to feed. They couldn't make the empire mad, or they might lose their influence. And they couldn't make this puppet king angry, or they might be killed too. But that's a dangerous game to play. Like fire. It's fine as long as it stays in the fireplace. You can cook with it, stay warm with it, but give it an inch and your house could burn down. The fox is in the hen house, as credit cards promise happiness, but only deliver debt and more problems. The fox is in the hen house, as the news reports attack with alarm and paint opponents of our way of thinking as liars and fools. The fox is in the hen house, telling us that working 60 to 80 hours a week will pay off in time. But let me tell you, when the budget gets tight, the fox will lay you off and say, good luck. We think we can control the fox, bow to him Monday through Friday, while maintaining our true allegiance to Christ, until one day we're asked to choose sides. While a fox may be more attractive and indicate he's ready to offer you a quick fix and lottery money, it's truly only the mother hen who will lay down her life for the brood. My friends, Jesus' commitment to vanquish all evil and bring restoration against all odds teaches us about the character of God. Yes, the fox is in the hen house, and only Christ laid down his life. If we are asked to choose sides, it will require courage. I pray that we will always choose Christ. My friends, you have heard the word proclaimed. You have sung God's words in the hymns that you sang this morning. I now invite you to stand and do something very Presbyterian, which is to affirm your faith publicly. Will you stand?